Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, continuing classes 2007, Kartik, this is the first class. We're discussing the second wave of sadhana bhakti. And last year, Rupa Goswami is explaining the different types of eligibility to perform devotional service. He was speaking about the Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Kanishtha Adhikari. And we ended on verse 19. The first wave, second wave, 19th verse. Yabhavet Komala Shraddha. Sa Kanishto Nigadyate. So this term we often heard Srila Prabhupada lecture about Komala Shraddha. Weak, soft, pliable, breakable faith of the Kanishta. So Rupa Goswami says the definition of a Kanishta Adhikari is that devotee who has weak faith because of even less knowledge of scriptures than the Madhyam Adhikari. It's called Kanishta. So that's the verse. And then Jiva Goswami, under the order of Rupa Goswami, comments on this verse. He says that a person who is not at all conversant with scriptures, he doesn't know anything about scriptures, he just, because of Purva Samskara's last life, he has faith in God or in Krishna specifically, or in this life by good association or some seva, he just wants to worship Krishna, serve Krishna. But he doesn't, his faith is, it says a person's faith is just conviction in the meaning of the scriptures without knowing much. In other words, oh, I understand that the scriptures explain that Krishna is God, he's the Supreme, he's Bhagavan, he should be worshipped, so I try to worship him. Of course, in one sense, at the ultimate level, that's the realization of the Mahabhagavat. There's nothing more to be done. You see in Padyavali, we were discussing that verse in Padyavali, Rupa Goswami's anthology of poetic verses by various realized devotees of the Lord. And he has one verse, I can't remember who it's by, but the devotee is very knowledgeable, Acharya, maybe Madhavendra Puri. And he's saying, to hell with my Vedic studies, to hell with my Gayatri, to hell with this, to hell with that. And you may criticize me, and you may curse me for not even chanting my Tri Sandhyam Vandana, my Gayatri, at the three junctures of the day. But at any rate, say whatever you want, I don't really care, because I fall in love with the little boy crawling in a courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Nanda Nandan, whose servant is here with us, my Guru Bhai, Sri Nanda Nandan, who's written about 18 books about Krishna consciousness. He's quite an extensive preacher, website, and we're honored to have him, actually, for Kartik month. At any rate, so this is the Kanishta. He's well-meaning. He has good intentions, but he doesn't know much. In America, they have an expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The roadway, the pathway to hell is paved, or you can say surfacing, like you pave the road or put new covering on the road or a new layer of cement or a new layer of asphalt. It's paved with good intentions. He meant well, but he went to hell. So the Kanishta, he has some faith, but there's no backing. Everything has to have backing. In the beginning, the backing must be knowledge. And then as one surrenders, which is the expression of his knowledge, he expresses his knowledge by Sharanagati. His faith grows and is nourished by the accumulation of transcendental knowledge. And when the faith becomes strong, not Komala Shraddha, becomes Nishta, Sudrida Nishta. When the faith becomes Sudrida Nishta, becomes nourished by acquirement of knowledge and by serving Mahants, Mahat Seva, then that faith gets Dridha, gets strong, gets thick, gets powerful. He's not a weakling anymore, now he's muscle bound. Now the faith has some muscles, he's strong. And then that faith expresses itself as surrender. And then it's Sri Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam. Guru Parashraya, take shelter of Guru, and then begin the path of faith. The path of bhakti is the path of faith. Each step, your faith increases. And so the Kanishtha, he has no backing of knowledge. Then the Madhyam has a backing of knowledge coupled with Sharanagati. And then as he progresses from Madhyam to Uttam, then the Uttam, his backing is knowledge, surrender, and feelings. He actually has feelings for the Lord. This is the Uttam. And of course, there's different levels. Uttam, Kanishtha, Uttam, Madhyam, Uttam, Uttam. So this is the progression here. Is it's a continuing. We have our faith, which is capital or money, and we reinvest our faith. We invest our capital. Then we draw a profit, and with that profit, then we invest those profits, and we get more profits. So this faith, we surrender to Krishna. We build up enough faith to surrender. Then when we surrender. And then we say, oh, Krishna reciprocated. Yeyatam mam prapadyante, tam sataiva bhajamyaham. As Prabhupada would say, just surrender one step, which is a big step. The Christians call it the leap of faith. It's not a step, it's a leap. For them, it's a leap. For us, it's a step in the right direction. And when you make that step, then Krishna runs 10 steps. Of course, he's a long way away, so we don't really perceive it right away. As we take one step towards that, in that direction, at least look in that direction, and he comes. So this is faith. Then you say, oh, something's happening. Then you take more steps. Then Krishna takes more steps. And finally, the final progress of your steps is you follow in the footsteps. This is called anusara, accepting the essence, the following the footsteps, anusara, anukaran. So anusara means you follow in the footsteps. And you're running to Krishna with your faith. You're running on the wings of your faith to Krishna. And Krishna's running on the wings of his vatsalya. He's running on the wings of his bhakta vatsalya, his affection. And then what happens, you meet, and because you follow the footsteps of Gopal Kumar, then you get embraced like Gopal Kumar and tumble and collapse on the ground in divine ecstasy with the prema lingata of the Supreme Lord. Because that's what he did. He kept taking steps toward the Lord. Gopal Kumar kept taking steps. A progressive march of immortality, as our Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev would say. Progressive march toward immortality. So he was marching, stepping forward, going forward. And Krishna was coming forward to him also. Coming to him in form of Shalagram Shila, coming to him in the form of this deity, in this position, in this deva. And then finally, different forms of the Lord, Narayan, and finally he came as a Gopa. He was Gopal Kumar, and Krishna came as a Gopa. Gopa Kumar embraced Gopal, Krishna Kumar. So faith is like this. It's learning to walk. So the Komala, at Komala Shraddha, the Kanishtha, he's a baby. He's weak, his legs are weak, he can't support himself. The support is knowledge. The two legs, we stand on the legs of knowledge. So this is what's being said here. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he explains, Kanishtha Adhikari, Vishnu Chakravarti is telling that other persons using scriptural logic can defeat a person with tender faith. So if a Komala Shraddha Bhakta, a Kanishtha Adhikari Bhakta, if he meets a Mayavadi or even someone who's in the art of living or dying or whatever, someone who's in some type of bogus spiritual pursuit, he can become convinced, oh, this, you should follow this line of action, this line of thought. However, the person is not completely unconvinced, because in that case, the person would not even be considered a devotee. So this term, he's saying, Komala Shraddha doesn't mean no faith, doesn't mean no conviction. It means, yes, he's a Kanishtha, he has some conviction, but he can be easily swayed due to other opinions or other ideas. So Vishwanath, he gives, because Jiva leaves it at the point of he has weak faith and doesn't sound very good for him. But Vishwanath says, weak faith in this verse means temporary unsteadiness of the heart when defeated by strong materialistic opponents. Later, the person regains faith in what the guru has taught by his own judgment. So in other words, the Kanishtha, he's come to the level of surrender where he actually believes, yes, I want to worship Krishna. I want to love Krishna. I want to serve Krishna eternally. And then I might get defeated, but I'm not going to stop trying. I'm not leaving Krishna. In other words, he can't be brainwashed back to Maya. The seed of bhakti, especially because that's what it says. He says, Vishnu says, later the person regains faith in what the guru has taught by his own judgment. So guru means that he's received the bhakti lata bija. And that bhakti is transcendental. So at this Kanishtha stage, that bhakti may get some cloud, in that clear sky of bhakti may get some clouds in it. Some cloudy conceptions may come. And he may get temporarily knocked off his feet, as they say. Or his boat may be sunk, but he won't quit sailing. Your boat may get sunk, but that doesn't say, oh, my boat sunk, I better stop sailing. No, I fix a new boat. I bring up that boat and fix it, or I get another boat. I'll keep sailing. I won't stop. Our Haridas Thakur, he showed the epitome of conviction. Of course, he's Mahabhagavat at the highest level, Uttam. And he was telling Akande Kande, we say Akanda Kirtan, means no cutting, no break. Akanda, Chobis Ganta, 24 hours chanting Hare Krishna, Akanda Kirtan. So he said, Kande Kande, he says, you can chop my body into thousands of pieces, these Muslim, soldiers or army or whatever you say, policemen that were punishing him in the different marketplaces. You can chop my body and so many pieces, but I'm not stopping. I won't stop chanting Hare Krishna. So, of course, that was the perfection of faith. It's not Komala. That's the most strong. That example is given in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, I believe, by Vedavyas Vrindavanas Thakur to show us this is faith. So even the Kanishtha has an abbas of that type of conviction. Okay, I don't know about chopping me in 100 pieces, but at least you can hit me on the head once, and I'll still keep chanting. So this, because you see, they try in so many ways to brainwash some devotees over the years by different techniques, and devotees come back. They come back to the fold. So this is where we left off, basically. And this is all a discussion of Vaidhi Sadhana. All these different aspects. And this goes on for quite a while. We're on page 103 of this book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, by Srila Rupa Goswami. And until page 299, there's a discussion of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So we have ways to go. From verse 1 to 269, and we're on verse 20, Vaidhi Sadhana. So this is text 20 and 21. So now he's been explaining over a few verses the points, the philosophy, the theoretical knowledge, the bhakti gyan. Now he wants to give some example of different persons that are qualified to practice devotional service. So he wants to refer to the praman, in this case, Gita Upanishad. Gita Upanishad is Bhagavad Gita, so he wants to refer to Bhagavad Gita. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sad Dharma Samstapako. To establish the eternal principles of Dharma, Sad Dharma, Rupa Goswami, he's expert at quoting the authorities, although he himself is a Mahajan. Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, is certainly qualified on the highest level as being the highest and greatest of all Mahajans. Because no Mahajan, none of the 13 Mahajans, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, etc., none of them can claim to have the realization or perception or understanding of Radha Krishna Tattva that Rupa Goswami has. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sabitam Yena Bhutale. So Manobhishtam, he knows the heart of Radharani. And these Mahajans, they've heard about the fame of Radharani, and they've even written prayers and glorification, like Mahadev has written so many prayers. But to know the very heart of Radharani, that is a secret treasure. It's only revealed to her confidants, her antaranga bhaktas, or devotees like the Kayavyuha Manjaris and Sakis. They know the heart of Radharani. Because the heart of Radharani is nothing but Mahabhav. So this type of secret is not much understood by Chaturmukh Brahma or Janak Maharaj or Yamaraj or the other great Mahajans. Although they know a lot, but they don't know that much. But just the humility of Rupa Goswami, he's saying, well, let me quote the Bhagavad Gita now for my praman. Because this is the example he's giving. Srinivasacharya is glorifying the Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano, that they don't have to cite any praman except their own words. Sri Rupa Uvacha. Sri Rupa Goswami Uvacha. And they could write every book like this. And for us, it would be sufficient. And they have so many things they've written. Stavamala and Upadeshamrita and so many things that they've written, which for the Raghunuga Bhakta and also the Vaidhi Sadaka are sufficient. But nevertheless, they show the example that we should always cite the authority. So he's saying, Tatra Gita Dishuktanam Chaturnam Adhikarinam Madhye Yasmin Bhagavata Kripa Syat Tat Priyasyava Sashina Tat Tat Bhava Satchuda Bhakti Yadikaravan Tevya Shanakadishcha Dhruva Sacha Tatushana. Among the four types of persons qualified for bhakti mentioned in the Gita, when they receive the mercy of the Lord or his devotee, and Bhagavat Kripa, Tat Priyasyava, and eradicate those tendencies, like Karma Mishra Bhakti, Gyan Mishra Bhakti, those tendencies, they become qualified for Shuddha Bhakti, pure bhakti. Examples of this are Gajendra, Shonaka Rishi and the sages, Dhruva and also the four Kamaras. So, he's explaining about the Adhikar, the qualification or eligibility to perform devotional service. And now, Jiva Goswami's commentary, which is rather long. We're not in any hurry. We're just going through verse by verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and trying to understand this great book, this great Shastra given by Rupa Goswami. This verse, Rupa Goswami states that the four types of persons mentioned in the Gita, in that verse, Chaturvida Vajatima, are in a condition prior to pure bhakti. Whoever among the four types receives the mercy of the Lord becomes qualified with pure bhakti. So then he quotes all these verses to explain from Bhagavad Gita how one comes to this position. Chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukritin arjuna arto jignyasur artarati gyani cha bharatarshava. That's 7th chapter, verse 16 of Bhagavad Gita. He's quoting 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Tesham gyani nityukta eka bhaktir vishishyate priyohi gyani no tyartam aham sacha mama priya udara sarva evaite gyani totmaiva me matam ashtita sahi yuktatma mam evat evanuttamam gatim bahunam janvanamante gyanavan mam prapadyante Vasudeva Saramiti Samahatma Sadurlava Kamastaste Rita Gyana Prapadyante Nudevata. He leaves that with this verse. Translation: four types of religious people or pious people, Sukriti Jana, they worship me, or Arjun, the sufferer, the inquirer, the enjoyer, and the Gyani. It's interesting. Translation. Original from Bhanu Swami. Of these four types, the Gyani, who is constantly engaged in thinking of me, who is practicing pure bhakti, is the best. This Gyani loves only me, and I love only him. They are all exalted, but the Gyani is my soul, because he remains firmly fixed in devotion to me, taking me as the highest goal. That is my opinion. A person of the other three types, becoming a Gyani after many births, attains me through devotee association. He understands that Krishna is everything. His mind is attached only to me. Such a person is very rare. Those who have become foolish because of their many desires worship various devatas, adopting various rules under the control of their individual desires. So it appears, if anyone, of course, is familiar with Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, that what we're hearing here as the translation to these verses is quite somewhat novel presentation. So, knowing that this is a standard that's often done by our Mahajanacharyas, it appears that Jiva Goswami has presented these verses as Praman in his commentary on this verse and given his translation, which means it's a combination of translation with purport in the translation, which makes it very lively because it's realized. It's not just rehashing or repeating the verses. He's entering the heart of Krishna, which only a pure devotee can do. And he's entering the mind of Arjuna, which it takes one to know one. And then he's presenting, this is actually what these five verses are all about. Chapter 7, verse 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. So it's very interesting that the Jnani, that he's saying, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, this is the person I like. This is the real Jnani. That he's actually in love with me and serves me and I love him. And the other three that are mentioned, Chaturvida, Bhajante Mam, they have a ways to go, like many births. They have to take many births, and because they're individual desires, they're under control. They're adopting rules under the control of their individual desires. And that's the translation of Kamaistaste Rita Jnana Prapadyante Nu Devata, which generally says that their intelligence, Rita Gyan, their intelligence is broken or diverted, so therefore they surrender to various demigods. So this is, and he's saying it's under the control of their individual desires. Because they want something, so these demigods are saying, well, if you want this, you come to me. They say, all right, I'll come to you. So Krishna's saying that this is not, you know, this person has a long way to go in his sukriti. He has to really develop his sukriti to the point of surrendering to me, which will take many births. Then it's a long purport. The Jnani refers to the knower of Atma, according to the commentator Sridhar Swami. He also explains the reason why the Jnani is considered best. He says that the Jnani is devoid of mental distraction because he has no false identification with the material body. He develops a constant state of meditation on the soul, an absolute devotion to the soul. But this is not so with the others. The others means the arto, the artarti, the jigyasu, the inquisitive, the one who's suffering and he wants something, and the one who wants one who wants money or relief or position, or one who wants relief from suffering. However, Jiva Goswami says, the following should also be considered in this regard. Hypothetically, let it be accepted that the person has such qualification because of knowledge of Atma and Brahman. Still, it is seen that even the most prominent Jnanis who have realized oneness after gaining knowledge of Atma and Brahman enter pure bhakti only by the mercy of the Lord. With this in mind, the author specially mentions the Kumaras as example of Jnanis. Thus it is said in the third canto. So, what is unusual about this commentary of Jiva Goswami, which is something different than what we understood from the Bhagavad Gita? Generally, when we hear this term Jnani Cha Bhardarshava, we think of the Jnani as an impersonalist. And then after so many births, and then he finally, when he gets real Jnan, Jnanavam Mam Prapadyante, Jnanavam, that famous verse, Bahonam Janvanamante, after many, many births, when he really gets Bhakti Jnan, knowledge of devotion, knowledge of Bhagavan, then he actually prabhatyante, he surrenders. So that's like, but Jiva Goswami is saying that in this verse, Chaturvida Bhajante Mam, when it says Jnani Cha Bharatarshava, these four kinds of pious people surrender to Krishna, he's taking the idea from his realization that he's saying here in a footnote that this is not an impersonal Jnani. Therefore, the Kumaras are given as an example of Jnanis, and not because they are not impersonal. The Kumaras are called Gyanis because they have Gyan, they have Bhagavan Gyan. They have knowledge about the Lord. However, although they had that knowledge, until they got the mercy of the Lord, they were not able to practice pure bhakti. So, because this is in Rupa Goswami's saying that the four kinds of people mentioned in this verse by Krishna, and then he says that one of the categories is represented by the four Kumaras. So that's four Kumaras are representing the Gyani. And the Arto, the one who wants wealth, is Dhruva Maharaj. And the one who wants relief from suffering is Gajendra. Everyone knows in the eighth canto, Gajendra was really suffering. He was getting eaten alive, as they say, by his adversary, the alligator, who was chomping up his leg. So he was crying out and remembering a prayer from his previous life. The Lord's mercy gave that remembrance. So Rupa Goswami is saying this Gyani here is actually this Krishna is thinking of the Kumaras here. So Vishwanath Chakravarti, in other words, Jiva, this is interesting how the Acharyas look at the same verse. Jiva Goswami is saying in this Gita verse, the Gyanis, they know about the Lord, like the four Kumaras. And then Vishwanath, he says that he classifies them as Gyana Mishra Bhaktas, who have attained Shantaras. So in Vishnu's commentary on Gita, he says in this verse, 7:19 from Gita, that yes, Gyani here does refer to the four Kumaras, but they're Gyani Mishra Bhaktas. They're like in Shantaras. They smelled the aroma, the fragrance from the garland, the Tulsi garland around Lord Vishnu when he came to the gate, the whole Jai Vijay and the whole cursing program. And then they smelled the chandan, the sandalwood from his feet. And then their knowledge got, you say, became mixed with bhakti, became mixed with awareness of the personality of God and the sweetness of his personal features. But still, it didn't create such a level of faith in them, because we're talking about faith here in different adhikar. It didn't create such an eligibility and qualification then that they wanted to transcend their gyatva, their tendency to have knowledge. It didn't give them that much faith where they wanted to say, yes, we want to actually serve this Lord that we're perceiving. They were happy with their knowledge of the Lord. We're happy with our knowledge, the four Kumaras. So their bhakti was mixed with this Gyan Mishra. That okay, we have feelings for the Lord. We have feelings for the Lord. It's like somebody you meet sometimes, life members, oh yes, I love Krishna. Well, can you do some service? No, I'm not interested in doing any service, but I love Krishna. And I know, yes, I know Krishna. I am knowing Krishna. They always say, I know Krishna. I have Gita. I know Krishna. Oh, can you come and do some service? No, I can't do any service. So the Gyanis, I mean, these, of course, the four Kumaras, they were, you know, Atmaram, Munis. They were not some ordinary Indian life member. But still, they hadn't come to the point where they were ready to surrender and serve the Lord. So this is called Gyana Mishra Bhakti. So this, we'll continue this discussion, analysis of this different adhikaras and the representatives of those adhikaras tomorrow.